The meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education will now come to order. Time, Mr. McManister?
7:39 PM.
Thank you, sir. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through a public notice on March 14, 2018, faxing to three newspapers designated by the board, the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Hunterdon Review, and Express Times, posting on the district website, the main bulletin board, and the administration offices, and in each Clinton Township school, and finally faxing to the clerk of Clinton Township. Mr. McManus, may we please have a roll call, sir?
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Present.
Mrs. Brennan.
Present.
Mrs. Brooks.
Here.
Mrs. Demurley. Dr. Foy.
Here.
Mr. Malloy. Mrs. Olowski.
Here.
Mrs. Redaguta.
Here.
Ms. Grant.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you, sir. Dr. Foy, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Certainly.
Thank you.
Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. McLaughlin, would you serve as the process guardian for this evening's meeting, please?
Sure.
Thank you. I'd like to go a little out of order this evening, and I'd like to turn over tonight's meeting at the moment to Dr. Pamela Feyender, our superintendent of schools. Dr. Feyender?
Thank you. Yes. Good evening, everyone. On April 11th, I had the opportunity to spend my mad money at Clinton Township Middle School. The entrepreneurs from Trepp's Marketplace had done a phenomenal job of creating and marketing, designing, and selling their products. I particularly like dogs, so I went away with dog biscuits, although I thought one was people, but that's another story. And they made scarves, and there was even a pet sitter, and then there were a variety of things from an amplifier made out of wood. It was just remarkable, the creativity that these students brought. So we were so excited to invite Mrs. Cormackin and her students to give you just an example of the geniuses that are alive and well at Clinton Township Middle School. Trepp's Marketplace, thank you for coming.
So this is going to be a little tricky for the board members, because we have some audio and visuals behind us. So you might actually even want to go into the audience for this presentation, or next time we'll have to get you to a twirly chair, so you can just keep twirling around. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
My name is Diane Cormackin, and I'm the enrichment teacher here at the middle school. And last year, a seventh grader asked me if we could do Trepp's. Now, I had never heard of that, so I asked around, I looked into it, found out that Califon and a few other area schools do it, and they spoke so highly of it. I talked to the administration of Mrs. Hammond and Mrs. Cohn, and they said, let's give it a try. So this year, we started, for the very first time ever, the Trepp's Student Entrepreneur Program. Through a series of workshops, the students design their own business, they learn about marketing, plan a budget, and write up a business plan. We then hold an actual marketplace, which was held here in the gymnasium on April 11th. And you can read about it in the flyer that we put on here. It was amazing. It surpassed all my expectations. We had 36 businesses, we had 60 students participating, and tonight, a few of those students are going to share their stories and what they learned from Trepp's. So,
here we go.
Good afternoon. I am Imani Walker.
And I am Mariana Rosa.
From the beginning, we both knew we wanted to do some sort of accessory. We originally wanted to do cell phone cases, but that changed after a few pre-trials. Our next idea was t-shirts and mugs, after my mom bought me a machine to do our own designs on them. We decided to make a customizable business, after the realization of how much people would like to have a low-priced customized item, which led to our business name, R&W Designs.
At first, it was stressful trying to figure out what types of shirts we would have and the pre-designs we would do on them, as well as other inventory that would go along with it. After many fails, we narrowed our ideas down to just t-shirts and mugs. At the day of the marketplace, we were not as prepared as we thought we were. We should have organized it in advance.
Making the shirts took longer than originally planned, resulting in many setbacks, and halfway through, the press didn't get hot enough, which led to the shirt making too much time to make. And went over the time that we told the customer it would take. But by the end of the day, we made good profit and learned more about time management and money management.
Overall, Chef's was a good experience, and we both want to continue this business in the future. And hopefully, this is more than just a school project.
And in the future, we are making a website out of this, and we do have something for Mrs. Grant.
Thank you for your time.
Justin's
gonna go later. He's gonna
tell you about
his
shirts.
I'm actually wearing one of his shirts. So, yeah, they're really cool. So, my name is Ryan Simonelli, and I'm a seventh grader at CTMS, and I'm a huge sports fan. Go Yankees! When I was introduced to Trep's program in November, I knew that I wanted to do it. I wanted to make sports plaques for people to hang up on their walls. There's an example of one. I would cut out a newspaper article about sports and glue it onto a piece of wood. I came up with the name Simo Sports Plaques. The process was very challenging, but fun. You could only imagine how much sawdust was in our basement. Once we made our first couple, I would spend whole days working on them. I also felt like we had a lot of time to make our product. I was not rushing to get them all done at the last second. When I finally got to the marketplace, I was so excited to sell my product. At first, business was slow, but then I started engaging and talking to people. Then it started going. Not only did I make a good profit, but I had so much fun in the process. I spent about $100 on supplies and made $450 profit.
Wow.
I will definitely do Trep's next year and recommend it in all schools. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Bella and I'm in eighth grade. When we first started Trep's last November, we learned about different kinds of businesses. We had to decide between a product and a service. I was the only student to create a business based on a service. I came up with a business called Homework Sitter. My business would provide babysitting and tutoring at the same time for students in preschool through fifth grade. Mrs. Cormigan helped me create a pricing system, business cards, and an email for parents to contact me so I wouldn't have to give out my phone number. One of the downsides to having a service instead of a product is that I didn't make any money the night of the market. But on the other hand, I didn't have any expenses, and I can make a profit in the future. So if you know anyone who's looking for a babysitter who will help children with their homework, feel free to give them my card, which is on the table by your checks back there. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Whitney Loving, and this is my partner, Lauren Pollock. We are in seventh grade at CTMS. Our business is L&W Squishies. We created a product that relieves stress and keeps your hands busy. Altogether, we made about 65 squishies and made a $71 profit. We sold out and received two custom orders. Each squishy was $3 to $5 each, depending on what design it was.
We had three different designs. There was a cake, cupcake, and a donut. We had a very long process of creating our product. We first had to figure out what we wanted to make. Then we had to decide how many we were going to make and what materials we needed. After we had to make sure every squishy was unique, we had to create our packaging and our logo, and we had to design our booth so that we could bring in more customers. We had a great time selling our product during the marketplace.
We learned so much about being an entrepreneur, promoting our product, manufacturing our product, and how to talk with customers. We can't wait to participate in next year's marketplace. Thank you.
essentials, and we sold lip scrubs, candles, bath salts, and bath bombs. Each product had their own distinct scent, and they were all natural. We advertised them as great for Mother's Day and for gifts in general. People were also drawn to them because they were all natural, like I mentioned before. Our lip scrubs came in flavors French toast and honey, and our candles came in scents eucalyptus, citrus burrs, and wild orange. Our bath bombs came in classic scents lavender and peppermint, and our bath salts came in scents stress relief and lemon. Our bath salts were the first to sell out. They had little surprises inside of them, like necklaces and rings for the consumer to keep for themselves. We ended up pricing the lip scrubs for $3.50 and $4.50 and $7 for any two. We priced each bath bomb at $4 as well as used bath salt. We priced each candle at $2 as well. We made 64 products in all and made a profit of $79 each. We were way more successful than we had expected we would be. Carly and I learned a lot throughout the course of trips. Business is not as easy as it may seem. Our first lesson was pricing our products. We wanted to have a variety of different products so we could attract more people. However, the more variants of products we had, the less we were making of each, and the higher the price went up. We learned that sometimes just the packaging went towards 50% of our cost. It was hard to keep our costs down. If we had to do this again, we may opt for a bulk of a single product rather than a variety. The next lesson, or the shocker for us, was the competition. Our idea was the most common in the marketplace. Three of our other competitors were selling similar products. We weren't prepared for this. We differentiated ours by marketing the essential oils they were made of, but it was not easy. Some of the changes we made along the way during the marketplace were that we teamed up with our friends who were selling different products with us and had them give referrals to our stall, and we returned the favor for them. Towards the end, in an attempt to sell all of our products, we decided on a strategy of buy one, get one free. So this way we sold two products instead of selling just one at 50% off. All in all, it was a great experience. If I had one wish, it would be that we did this over multiple years. There's a lot of practical knowledge to be gained from this experience of setting up our own business, and it would be great to have a chance to apply the lessons learned from your first year into the following years. And I would like to thank Mrs. Cormigan for all her hard work and support throughout this entire process.
Hi, my name is Justin Stadoulis, and I'm in seventh grade. I decided to join TREBS because I wanted to make my own business. It was my hobby making t-shirts with fabric markers. And when TREBS started, I knew it was big time for me to join. I made three designs using spray paint and an airbrush. One was American Pride. One was Autism Awareness, and one was Just for Fun, Just Dad. I named my business Just Shirts. The marketplace was successful. I had almost 50 people on my booth, and we ran out of some sizes and had to take special orders. In total, I have exactly $700 profit on my Trex business. I'm still taking orders, and you can find me on Facebook at Just Church number 4, you, capital U. If you want one, you'd like to order it, you can go at that Facebook page. I hope that you come to Trex next year and visit my booth, Just Shirts. And now I'll show a presentation up on the board.
Thank you.
this is just a small sample of a really amazing group of kids. We had such a wonderful time, and the founder of TREPS came to visit our TREPS marketplace, and she said it's one of the best first year TREPS that she's ever been to. We hope to do it again next year. No matter how hard they worked, my biggest fear is the people weren't going to come. And thanks to you all, the parents, the PTA, the administration, the kids used social media like crazy. We had a fabulous turnout, and thank you for, there were so many teachers there. Thanks for coming, you guys. There were so many administrators there. I'll tell you, I spent all my money and then I had to go to my boss and say, can I borrow another $50? I actually bought a few things on credit too, so the next day I'm paying off my bills in the hall. So anyway, do you have any questions for these young entrepreneurs who I like to call Treppers?
Question over there, Mrs. Brooks. Who would you like to know that from?
Let's see, who's going to come back next year?
All the seventh graders.
Okay, so young lady, Jackie, I'm sorry.
Lauren. What would you do differently?
I would probably choose a product that more people would like.
Lance, what's your
problem? I would probably choose a product that more people would like and would sell better or make more of the product.
Anybody else? Ryan?
I would probably like stay in the wood so that it would look a little bit cooler to people, like more eye-catching.
I think it looks really cool.
I suggested to Ryan early on that he expand beyond sports. He wasn't really into that. He really didn't need to at all. Anybody else have a question? Mrs. Hammond.
I don't have a question, but I have a comment for you and for all your fellow Treppers. You put hours and hours and hours, day after day, week after week, and you guys persevered. And I hope for some of you, obviously, the bug has caught, but what an experience. So I want to thank you guys because I and the rest of the school learned a lot.
Programs. If it says winner on it, you get a mug.
Putting those leftover products to very good use. Good job, ladies. Good job, gentlemen. Thank you all.
Mrs. Grant wants to say something.
I lost.
To all of our students,
On behalf of the Board of Education, I'd like to thank you for coming out this evening and sharing your journey through TREPS. You've demonstrated incredible creativity and focus and determination. You recognize, identify all of the things that went well, and you had the courage to speak about the things that you needed to change and the things that perhaps didn't go so well, and that really takes a lot for everyone to do, and I'm really thrilled to see Spike here tonight. This is a remarkable achievement for all of you, and particularly because you're so young, and I can't wait to see you on Amazon, mm-hmm. all of your products on Amazon, so on behalf of the board, congratulations, you should be very proud of you. To the parents of these students, you'll probably be able to pay for college with some of what they've created here tonight, so good for you guys. I'd like to thank you for supporting your children or your child in this wonderful endeavor, like TREPS, and for bringing them here this evening so that they could share all their hard work and creativity with the board. They are truly an extension of each and every one of you, and you should be proud of them. And Ms. Cormigan,
there you go.
You did it again. Another innovative, wonderful program. You now have started the Clinton Township School District MBA program, so congratulations for that. That's what it is. So congratulations on that. Your tireless leadership continues to help our students grow and mature and thrive in our schools. So on behalf of the whole Board of Education, I'd like to thank you for your continued effort with our students. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry, people. I won.
You won.
Woo-hoo! Thank you, guys. Great job.
See ya.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Did you get a mug? What does
it
say?
I did. It says, education is priceless, and it's in glitter. My daughter's going to love it.
That's awesome. So this is good.
Can we just continue with your report?
So do you want these?
We'll let them answer first.
Sure.
But I'll introduce the budget first. So if you want to do
it first.
Let me introduce the budget first, then you want to present the budget.
So we're going to move on at this particular moment with the remaining portion of Dr. Fyander's report as the superintendent of schools. Dr. Fyander?
Thank you. Give me just a moment. Presenting on the back behind you, so if you want to take a turn around. This evening for my superintendent's report.
Pamela, can you talk into the microphone?
Pull up.
I can. For the month of April, I will be reporting on the QSAC report card. It's the Quality Single Accountability Continuum Review, called QSAC. What happens is the county superintendent, his team, comes and does an on-site review. In fact, they came several times. They look at our self-assessment documents, and then they look at district performance against these indicators: instruction and program, fiscal management, governance, operations, and personnel. That is just one of the elements for which they looked. All of those notebooks contain hundreds of documents that we have to provide to show what it is we do to be in compliance with the state regulations. The QSAC report card came out, and after their review, the county said that in instruction and program, we received an 87%, in fiscal management, 92%, governance, 98%, operations, 100%, and personnel, 100%. Now, before I tell you the great thing that we're considered high performing, I've reviewed with the business administrator, the director of special projects, myself, and the director of assessment, and the State Department miscounted our instruction and program. We have a 90%. So we're going to let them know that, but we've checked the documents. So the assistant commissioner wrote to us, he's pleased to inform that our district satisfied at least 80%, which is the standard of the weighted indicators in each of the five areas. Not only did we meet that, we exceeded it, and we've been designated as high performing. He sent us congratulations on this accomplishment. I don't know if he'll feel that way when I send it back that he counted wrong, but so that is the Quality Single Accountability Continuum Review, which by statute I must present to the Board of Education. I also monthly report suspensions at CTMS. We had 3 1-day in school, 2 1-day in school, 2 1-day out of school, one two-day out-of-school, and one three-day out-of-school suspension, and these are all conducted based on our student code of conduct and consequences for behaviors. At Round Valley School, we had 2 one-half-day in-school suspensions and 2 one-day in-school. To share highlights with you on the month of April, there are 1,273 students. Last month, there were 1,269. So we had students move into the district. I think we had a set of triplets. I'm not sure. It runs around here somewhere, triplets, I guess. And we had Girl Scouts sprucing up Spruce Run over the month of April. At Spruce Run, the Franklin Institute had a traveling science show. And there you see again a picture of the Autism Awareness Month shirts, and tonight you got to meet the creator of those, which was fantastic. Clinton Township Middle School, if you remember last month, we had the Great Energy Debate, and that's a wonderful picture of where they were working to take care and make that presentation happen. And there, Mrs. Hammond is doing her Vanna White to the Trepps Marketplace. Taking your children to work day, Miss Lynn was there with her girls, although I think they brought her, is what it looked like. Round Valley had diversity night, which was fantastic. There were all different kinds of foods, all kinds of cultures, many wonderful things happening at Round Valley for diversity night. And Superheroes Day was last Friday, and I found a few outside my office. And this was so wonderful. The PMG students made posters for Mr. Farkas and Mr. Daniello for helping them with park testing. They run all the infrastructure of the computers, so that was really, really sweet. And I think these guys put them on their refrigerators. I do. And I love this picture. A staff member at PMG sent it to me. The students were out on a beautiful day when it was Take Your Children to Work, and I think that's a glorious picture of the grounds there. Also in the district office, our new director of special services, Alexa Ingram, brought her son Brock to work, and Brock decided to take over my office. And he is now at the helm, so I would like to complete this part of the program. I'm finished, and what's coming up is May, tomorrow. Thank you. Did you want to give an introduction?
Yep. I would like to look for a motion, please, on action item 18SU-29 to 18SU-34, please.
Motion.
Motion, Dr. Foy. Second, please.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Brennan. Any questions for Dr. Fiander this evening?
I have one. I'm noticing a huge uptick in suspensions from the previous month, and I'm just wondering, these were all separate incidents, it's not a group. Each one of these incidents, I counted 14 incidences for the month of April. Are they all separate incidences, or some of them multi-students are involved in the same incident?
Multi? I'm looking at Mrs. Hammond.
Just seems like an exponential increase. It's a little alarming.
Any other questions for Dr. Fiander? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Brennan.
Yes.
Mrs. Brooks.
Yes.
Dr. Foy.
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Yes.
Mrs. Olasky.
Yes.
Mrs. Radaguda.
Yes.
Ms. Grant.
Yes.
Motion passed.
Thank you. In a moment, Dr. Fiander will present to the board the final budget, and I'd like to review with everybody the process that goes around developing that budget, getting it approved up until its final presentation for this evening. So school budgets, including the Clinton Township school budget, are developed, approved, and implemented with a significant number of ongoing checks and balances. The annual school budget is not developed and presented and approved in a silo. The school district is held accountable to develop, approve, and implement an annual budget by members of the Board of Education, our community, the Executive County Superintendent, the New Jersey Department of Education, and by auditors that specialize in education. The process to develop the 2018-19 budget began this past fall with the administration, staff, and members of the Board of Education identifying and prioritizing specific needs in the classroom, the needs of our facilities, and operational needs. Board committees like our Facilities and Finance, Policy and Curriculum, and our Personnel Negotiations Committees meet many times to discuss and prioritize needs for the district with the committee's area of responsibility. Dr. Fiander, the district superintendent of schools, and Mr. McManus, our school business administrator, took the input provided by members of each committee and members of our staff and developed a preliminary budget. Each committee reviewed the needs of the district included in the proposed 2018-19 budget. The Facilities and Finance Committee conducted a final review of the preliminary budget and then recommended that the superintendent and business administrator present it after they agreed to its content. The preliminary budget was presented at the Board of Education's monthly meeting held in March of 2018. Members of the board and the public were permitted to ask questions regarding the preliminary budget at this meeting. The full board then voted and approved the preliminary budget during the Facilities and Finance Committee meeting portion of the March meeting. The preliminary budget was sent to the Executive County Superintendent for approval. And on April 16, 2018, the Executive County Superintendent approved the preliminary budget. The district advertised the proposed budget on April 19th of 2018. Tonight is the annual formal budget hearing for the 2018-19 school budget for Clinton Township School District. Dr. Fiander will present the final budget to the board and the community this evening. Once again, members of the board and members of our community will have an opportunity to ask questions regarding the proposed final budget. When questions have been asked, the board will vote on whether or not to approve the final budget. And then the board will vote on an annual payment schedule that we provide to the township each year. Upon approval of the final budget, it will be submitted to the New Jersey Department of Education. The checks and balances do not stop after the budget is approved by the Board of Education. The State Department of Education reviews the district's budget. Then the Executive County Superintendent conducts a mid-year review of the budget annually. The district's budget is also reviewed by auditors that specialize in education two times per year. The auditors provide an audit report, which is also made available for review by the public. These are the steps that take place each and every year with the development of the district's school budget. This process provides proper oversight and ensures that a budget is effective and responsible. At this time, I'd like to ask Dr. Pamela Fiander, superintendent of our schools, to present the final 2018-19 budget. Dr. Fiander.
Thank you, Mrs. Grant. The final 2018-19 budget was obviously developed, as Mrs. Grant outlined, and the most active members of the board in the development were Kevin Malloy, the chair, Lana Brennan, Maria Grant, Alyssa Olasky, who are on the finance committee. The objectives of the hearing is to present a clear and accurate overview of the budget and to answer the questions. What is in the Clinton Township budget and what are the implications to the resident taxpayers? It includes revenues with state aid, other revenues, expenditures, budget highlights and details, and tax levy information, the general fund, and the debt service. Enrollment in Clinton Township, like all other, actually across the nation and certainly in the state, are seeing a decline in elementary school enrollments. And this is a decline we continue to see and project for next year. Clinton Township has lost 533 students over a 10-year period. State aid components include school choice, transportation, special education, security, park readiness, pupil growth aid, additional adjustment, professional learning community, and additional adjustment aid. That was based on this current year. When you look at FY19, park readiness aid per pupil growth aid and professional learning community aid no longer exist. But the state has a way of holding us harmless. So in other words, we are getting just about the same amount, give or take $900, of state aid for this current year, for next year over this current year. Revenues that were approved in the 17-18 budget equal $28,174. And this year we are anticipating over $29,000. So it's an uptake of revenues of $188,000 plus. The expenditure history in the district shows that it has continued to go down since the FY 15-16 school year. and we propose that will be happening again, and here you can see it graphically. In 14-15, it was about 32 million, and then it went up to 34 and down. The budget highlights and what the budget is all about are the curriculum, programs, technology, the safety security measures, and financial considerations and constraints. The budget is how we deliver our program. General fund increases this year include employee benefits, special education private school placement tuition, and sometimes we don't even know that what that will be because students can move into the district who have needs that we may not be able to address on site, and there may be additional costs. Our legal fees are increasing due to special education cases, unilateral placements, contract negotiations, and deliberations with the township. Negotiations with the collective bargaining group is in process. Our substitute teacher costs were under budgeted this current year, and those needed to be increased. And school security always remains a priority for us, and additional funds are being allocated for very important projects. In curriculum and technology, we're expanding student learning resources, and there are a variety of ways we are doing that, through STEM design lab materials, ELA materials, science, fact fluency, math, and Teacher College Columbia will be doing professional development workshops for us across the board, K to 8. God bless. In technology initiatives, we're going to refresh and replace our Chromebook one-to-one program, Chromebook access via classroom carts in some grades, and design lab at Round Valley School. Security measures are for a full security audit for the district, specific upgrades on public address systems, and card access for the staff. And the card access systems have been installed, and we're now programming the computer so that we will have that underway very shortly. Financial constraints are, we're anticipating health care costs in the area of 18% in the 2019 calendar year, prescription benefits increasing, dental benefits increasing, special education increase of out-of-district placements from 4 to possibly up to 9, and of course the collective bargaining is still in process. Budget increases, as I said, include health benefits, out-of-district tuition, legal fees, substitute teachers, school security, and negotiated settlement. And this is what the anticipated cost increase are according to our budget. We have decreases in, we anticipate, in general supplies, in the superintendent's office, in cleaning, maintenance, and repairs, and overall staffing positions. And with this, we presented a budget that then translates into tax rate information. The general fund tax levy is 1.5%, which is under the 2% cap. The board chose not to go up to the cap, but to keep it fiscally responsible at 1.5%. The general fund tax levy is increasing by $347,000 over the current year. The tax rate from last year is increasing by 1.5%, so as a homeowner, the increase of $58 for the average assessed home of $385,000 is a monthly rate of $4.83. That's the general fund portion. The debt service portion is $2,100,106, which is a difference of $398 over this current year. This year, the tax rate was 0.079 per $100 of assessed valuation. Next year, it will be 0.096. Why is the debt service rate increasing? This current year, the district was able to use leftover referendum funds, almost $400,000, to offset the debt service payment. This was a one-time benefit available this year, and it's not available next year. So debt service will return to normal levels. And there is the tax rate information. When you combine the general fund and the debt service and compare it from this year to next year, the difference is 0.032. And again, that gives you the assessed home valuation and the monthly rate. And those were the steps we took. We submitted the budget. It was approved, actually, I believe, on April 16th. And we advertised that tonight is the formal budget hearing on April 30th. And I thank you and welcome your questions.
Thank you.
Anyone on the board have any questions for Dr. Fiander in regards to this presentation on the final budget for 1920, 1819? Dr. Foy?
I just have one for educational purposes, no pun intended. We go through an audit twice a year, every year, and have any audit findings come up that we've had to address, you know, for this kind of budget or previous ones? So have any findings been part of?
I believe my understanding is the last audit was a clean audit.
Any other questions? I have one, if I may. Estimated costs for added district placements, what is your rough estimate for that again? I just wanted to verify.
I need to be at my computer.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Did I have it on this slide? Let me go back up. Because I don't want him to speak. Because I can grab it on my computer. I know we were projecting going from 4 currently up to...
I think it just gave you the number.
Out of district, anticipated cost increase is $258,000. That's not the total cost, that's the increase.
Right, that's the increase.
Right.
So roughly per student, it's somewhere between $125,000 to $150,000
yes.
per student?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions?
So, I'm sorry, one more then.
Sure.
Is that assuming the 9?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Fiander.
You're welcome.
I'm
sorry?
I'm having some trouble hearing.
Yeah, there's something wrong with it. Darren's
trying
to fix it.
Yeah, he's trying to work
through
it. Actually, do you want to take a look at something?
I'm looking for a motion to take a 10-minute recess so that we can fix the audio. Is it up now?
It's okay.
Cool. Very good. So we don't need a recess anymore. I retract that. I'm going to, at this point in time, move on to the report of the ad hoc committee that's looking at the feasibility of closing a school. The ad hoc committee, charged with reviewing the feasibility of closing a school, previously announced that they would, along with Dr. Pamela Fiander, make a final presentation and recommendation to the full Board of Education and to the public on what action will be taken or not taken regarding closing one of the district schools by the end of May 2018 or in the beginning of June of 2018. The committee and Dr. Fiander have been working very diligently to finalize all aspects of their research and to gather and organize all possible data in order to make a final recommendation and presentation to the full board and the public. Since March 2018 board meeting, the committee has met twice. During those meetings, the committee and the district administration reviewed enrollment data and information from a new preliminary demographic study, along with information from discussions with the Clinton Township Sewer Authority and an update on discussions with surrounding districts about the potential for send-receive relationships or consolidations. The committee also reviewed what triggers were identified by the feasibility committee throughout its deliberations, what has changed, and what remains the same. The committee and the superintendent defined the following tasks for the superintendent to oversee completion of in order to determine a proposed definite direction for the fall of 2018. Those items include finalizing a new demographic study, conducting a scheduling analysis, completing a transportation analysis, finishing the seniority study, crafting personnel deployment options, identifying potential one-time costs of relocation plans, conducting an overall cost analysis of a proposed final plan, and designing a communication plan. Deadlines for each of the tasks I just mentioned were established. Dr. Fiander has begun to work with David Hespe, former New Jersey Commissioner of Education, to help share his expertise, knowledge, and experience in education to facilitate and complete the tasks mentioned a moment ago. During each meeting, the committee and Dr. Fiander reiterated to one another that the board will not make any changes that would negatively impact how the district delivers educational programs to the students and how they are supported socially, emotionally, and intellectually. Further, the board and the superintendent are fully committed to not exceeding state or district policy class size guidelines. The committee will meet weekly until all these tasks and the presentation are complete. On Thursday, May 31st at 7:30 p.m. in this auditorium, the Clinton Township Board of Education will hold a special meeting. During this meeting, the ad hoc committee researching the feasibility of closing the school and Dr. Fiander will release and discuss the findings of their research and make a recommendation to the board on how to manage challenges associated with declining enrollment and increasing expenses. The Board of Education will ask questions at the conclusion of the presentation. Then members of the public will be invited to make comments and ask questions as well. On that same evening, the board will vote on whether or not to accept or reject the committee and Dr. Fiander's recommendation. Moving on to the final portion of my comments for this evening, I have a negotiations update as of today. And the update has a bit of a review and goes through today. So the Board of Education filed for impasse with the Public Employee Relations Commission, also known as PERC, on February 1st of 2018. On February 2nd of 2018, PERC acknowledged the filing in a letter dated February 2nd. In that letter, Ms. Barreto, Director of Conciliation and Arbitration for PERC, acknowledged the filing and asked both parties to respond within 5 days as to whether they believe that impasse does in fact exist. The association indicated to Ms. Brito, as well as the board, that impasse had been reached. Therefore, on February 8, 2018, Ms. Barreto sent a letter to both parties' representatives indicating that it does appear that both groups are at impasse and she assigned a mediator to the case. A mediation session was scheduled between the board and the Clinton Township Education Association for March 12th of 2018. At the beginning of the negotiation session, it was found that the mediator had a conflict of interest with one of the representatives and recused himself from the session. The mediator wrote to his superior the morning of March 13th, 2018, and shared that there was a conflict of interest and that he felt that he needed to recuse himself from this mediation process. On March 19th, 2018, Ms. Barreto acknowledged the conflict of interest and assigned a new mediator. The newly assigned mediator provided the board and the CTA with three potential dates for the parties to begin a mediation on March 26, 2018. In a letter from the mediator on April 3rd, she acknowledged that the dates previously offered for mediation regarding the above captioned matter were not available to both parties. She then offered, he then offered three new dates in May of 2018. Both parties agreed to meet on May 10th to begin mediation. The Board of Education is eager, with the help of a third party from PERC, to begin this mediation process with the Clinton Township Education Association in an effort to quickly come to a mutually beneficial agreement between both parties. That concludes my comments for this evening. I would like to open the floor to the first public comment section on agenda items only. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual, our bylaw limits comments to 3 minutes. We'll adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone to be heard in a fair, consistent, and equitable way. Also, the public comment section is only for comments made by the public. It is not an interactive session between the board and the public. This too is defined by our bylaw. The board will make note of any questions or comments that a member of the public will make at the microphone. If the Board of Education has an immediate answer to the question or questions, they will be answered at the conclusion of the public comment section. To the extent any other action or research is warranted, it will be addressed by the board president or the superintendent of schools as appropriate. No participant may speak more than once on the same topic until all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. If you'd like to address the board this evening, please approach the microphone, state your name and address, be limiting this public comment section to 30 minutes.
Hello, I'm Mary Claire Spadone. My address is 115 Overlook Drive in Clinton, New Jersey. I've stood here before in the past and previous years in regards to our contract negotiations, and I have heard over and over again the need for a speedy process and speedy meetings. But unfortunately, that never seems to really be the case, and it is really important. We've now basically let an entire school year go by with yet another expired contract. And in my 8 years, it's always been that way. And I know 8 years doesn't seem like a lot, but when you're always constantly fighting this battle, it's upsetting. And it really does bring down morale. And you hear in the community, I thought that was settled, but it's not. And it was settled, but that was for a previous contract that had been expired for 3 years prior to that. And if you look around, like if everybody stopped, took a second and looked around at your audience, it's the CTSD staff that's here. And it's the CTSD staff that's helping the students that are presenting come up with those presentations. And it is awesome and overwhelming to see the students be able to come up here. And like when you had them 3 years ago and they come up and they're doing these presentations, it's emotional. Because you're like, wow, I love this place. And I love the vibe that we have and all of the amazing things that we can do. But if over and over again that respect boundary isn't there, it diminishes. And we don't want to see that diminish. And we want to see that positive attitude. But unfortunately, with it being May now and coming up here again and having heard the same conversations over and over again and seeing teachers and family members come out of their cars when they're picking up their students in the afternoons to pick up their kids from Spruce Run or PMG, and they see teachers standing out there and they're like, wait, can I come out and join you guys? And we're like, absolutely. We love the support that our community gives us, and we want to see the support come from everybody. And I am thoroughly looking forward to a mediation on May 10th, and hopefully we can see some progress and not have to come back at that May Board of Ed meeting on May 14th and not have any progress made. So I really would love everybody to come together on May 10th and be open-minded and willing to sit and talk and discuss and listen, because listening is really what's gonna matter. So, thank you.
Chuck Roberto, 8th grade English language arts teacher and executive vice president of the Clinton Township Education Association. Good evening. In both the negotiations presentation on February 26th and the president's comments on March 26th, it was noted that the high increment costs and high health care increases are providing many challenges for both the board and the CTEA. I would like to congratulate the board on putting forth a budget that comes in with 5% or with 0.5% of the 2% cap constraint to spare. I know this was a very difficult task. This board has constructed a budget that takes into account the healthcare increase that alone surpassed the 2% cap. It would also have to be believed that this budget allows for an increase to the salary guide, not one that has been agreed upon, but an increase. This has to be believed because it would be fiscally irresponsible to not account for this just because the contract has not been settled. Of course, that begs the question, why isn't this contract settled? When I spoke to Phil Stern on February 26th, he told me that he regretted that impasse was declared, but he was optimistic that with the mediator we were assigned, that we could reach an agreement quickly. It was noted in the president's comments on March 26th, and again this evening, that the mediator had to recuse himself from the mediation process because of a conflict of interest. As it turns out, this was again a partial truth being told by the board. On the evening of the meeting with the mediator, the Board of Ed chose to add additional counsel, which they have every right to do. It turned out that the additional counsel is what created the conflict of interest because the mediator's wife works for the firm that the board chose to add for representation. All along, the board has said they are not engaging in delay or diversion tactics. One has to wonder about this decision, though. Why add counsel for this meeting? And of the many firms held on retainer, to add the one firm that employs the mediator's wife just seems to be too coincidental to be a coincidence. But that is in the past. A new mediator has been assigned, and a new date has been set for May 10th. Your budget will be approved tonight, barring any last-minute concerns. The stage is set. Let us not engage in any diversion or delay tactics. Let's just get this done. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Faith Furman. I'm the school nurse at Spruce Run School, and I'm a Clinton Township resident of almost 24 years, 3 Cobblestone Lane. I wanted to point out, I know the presentation tonight was talking about our enrollment, and this may just be a little bubble that's related to Hurricane Sandy 5 years ago, but when we did kindergarten registration last month, we actually have more students registered for kindergarten coming up. And I don't know if that's a trend or, again, just Hurricane Sandy 5 years ago. But that's something to keep in mind. We have to be able to accommodate them all the way through the district, their time in the district. I also saw in our agenda that hopefully it will be approved tonight, the shared service agreement for the nursing services over the summer. And I wanted to thank you for that. I've done that service for a number of years, and it's really a great, I think, great benefit to our taxpayers. I also saw it in the presentation, the deliberations with the township, and I was wondering if we're going to hear what those are specifically. I'm not aware of what that is. I also see in our agenda tonight, School Nurses Day is going to be recognized, and thank you on behalf of my colleagues who are not here. We have a different job than anyone else in our district and in the school structure. I also wanted to point out to Mr. Roberto's point, we are losing a number of our long-term staff, unfortunately. So I imagine that represents some savings to our district when you're doing your budget considerations, and I don't want to lose sight of that. Thank you.
Okay, I'd like to close the floor on our first, on our
Hi, I'm Maureen McSweeney. I live at 15 Foxfire Lane in Clinton, and I have just become involved recently. I came to the last meeting. So since the last meeting, when I've been looking up more stuff, the issue I have is with transparency on everything. So you hear that there's negotiation going on, but you don't get to find out what the negotiations are, because apparently only the people that are on the negotiating committee on both sides are allowed to know what's happening. So therefore, who knows? And they've reached an impasse. Well, maybe if those couple people can't get along and do whatever, they should, after so many tries, switch them and do something different to perhaps make it better. I, again, think it's our teachers are where all the value is. You can see all the way across the country, from Arizona to Kentucky to whatever, when things aren't working out, they're now, the teachers are starting to strike and do other stuff. That I doubt, I mean, that would ever happen here, because these teachers are so committed that they keep coming in regardless of what happens. But as it was said earlier, the last contract, they didn't have a contract. They were expired for 3 years before they finally got a contract for 1 year, and then now they're out again, and they've been negotiating. It's been a year now, and they can't reach a reasonable contract. We're not even up to our cap. That's what a cap's for. You're coming in under a cap when you're not paying the teachers. And that's my opinion on it. Sorry.
Bill Glaser, 35 Pinehurst Circle, Annandale. I'm confused whether this is the public hearing, the budget or not, but I'll assume it is. I'm a little bit concerned of the very limited amount of information on the board's website about the budget to allow the public to prepare. The presentation to the superintendent was fine as far as it goes, but the user-friendly budget does include a lot more information, would have allowed for some real public dialogue. And I looked today, I couldn't find it, maybe it's my fault. But we have no idea of the per pupil spending. It obviously has to go up with the way the budget is working. Class sizes, I just don't think the public can be well informed, and I feel at a disadvantage at a hearing that we're not really able to comment. Thank you. I would hope we do better in the future on that point.
Hi, Deborah Tackney. I'm a retired teacher of Clinton Township School District, and it's really great to be back. On April 10th of this year, an online publication, Princeton, New Jersey Patch, reported that the New Jersey towns were graded in Niche's Best Places to Live in New Jersey from A+ to D+. Niche.com is a website that, quote, rigorously analyzes dozens of public data sets and millions of reviews to produce comprehensive rankings, report cards, and profiles for every K-12 school, college, and neighborhood in the United States. To arrive at the rankings for the New Jersey towns, it took several factors into consideration, such as the quality of local schools, crime rates, housing trends, employment statistics, and access to amenities. The quality of local schools. I was happy to see that Clinton Township was one of the communities that received an A+ grade, along with Princeton, Bedminster, Westfield, and East Brunswick. According to the New Jersey School Boards Association, the role of the school board is, quote, to represent the concerns of the citizens, taxpayers, and parents to the school administrators, and to represent the needs of the students and school district to the citizens, taxpayers, and parents of the community. The quality of local schools. The main qualifier for an A+ rating, how does the board make sure the township retains its rating? Wouldn't it be in the best interest of citizens, taxpayers, and parents to do so? Clinton Township's teacher contracts pale in comparison to the contracts of Princeton, Bedminster, Westfield, and East Brunswick. Yet this staff provides an equal to, if not better, education every day of every month in every way. It's time to invest in the staff that has earned Clinton Township its A+ rating. Provide a respectful contract that rewards the talent, time, and tenacity of this staff. Invest in the professionals that spend every day planning, teaching, analyzing, and designing the individual paths of each student in this town. Clinton Township, best places to live in New Jersey. The quality of local schools. Remove the obstacles in the way of settling this contract. It's in your hands.
Now that our board attorney, Mr. Vito Gagliardi, has arrived, I would like to ask him to address a statement that was made a few moments ago at the microphone that with Mr. Richard Bosch joining us in negotiations, that there was a conflict of interest, and that is what caused the conflict of interest. Mr. Gagliardi, can you please explain what really caused the conflict of interest, sir?
Sure. A mediator assigned by PERC that evening is married to someone at our firm. So whether Rich Bausch had been there or not, he could not mediate for any public body which we represent. And we've represented you for many years. So that was simply a conflict issue that was missed and had nothing to do with who physically was sitting there that night. He couldn't handle it because of our relationship with the district anyway.
Donnie.
I obviously don't know how PERC handles its conflict issues, so I've said all that can be said on the subject. They cannot, that individual cannot mediate anything for any public body we represent.
Thank you, Mr. Gagliardi. I'd like to move on, please, to the first recognition of the public. The same parameters that I mentioned a few moments ago on agenda items only apply here. If you'd like to address the board, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 10 minutes.
Hi, it's Alison Ford, 7 Oak Ridge Road, Annandale. I would just like to thank Julie Tepper and Chelsea Lindebury for the fantastic job they did this year with the autism awareness shirts that they got the students in their class to make. They did over 75 t-shirts. They sold them, they distributed them. They did all parts of the process, which was amazing. And I think it's awesome we had the TREPS thing earlier, but it's a shame that these guys weren't acknowledged as well, because they did an amazing job. And all of their profits go to Autism New Jersey. Thank you.
Sorry, Maureen McSweeney again, 15 Foxfire Lane. My question is regarding, I saw the proposed budget and it had legal fees in it. So it had what was estimated and then what would be. When you go back and you look at our agenda and the minutes and it says the bills, you know, you can keep track of, they keep track of everybody, who gets car this, who does whatever. It just has legal fees. There's no breakdown. So anybody reading it doesn't know if maybe that they needed an attorney to represent a student or something happened, or if they're using it for negotiation fees. So everything else in the budget is broken down all the way, so you can tell when you're looking at it what is spent on what. So for transparency, it would be helpful to know how much money is getting spent. For our legal fees, what between negotiations, what have you guys spent on attorney fees, as well as what they have back and forth, just so that they can keep track of it for the future so it can be itemized. That's my request.
So I'd like to address that comment by Ms. McSweeney. Mr. Philip Stern and his firm, which is not associated with Mr. Gagliardi's firm, we pay those negotiation fees separately, so the transparency is there for negotiations. And we vote on that once a month. So,
so if I was looking at it, that would be under the bill part.
It's correct.
And it would say it's for negotiations under that part?
It's the law firm represents us for negotiations, so anything affiliated with that law firm.
Only that law.
That's correct.
The other three don't have any relationship.
We don't. Other three. Oh, the insurance law firm?
Right. Maybe.
The insurance. Right. Yeah, so I'm sorry, Ms. McSweeney. Mr. Stearns is specifically for negotiations. We have attorneys for insurance claims, and then we have Mr. Gagliardi for board representative issues.
So if I look at Mr. Stearns, what's that, all negotiations, and that's how it's separate?
That's correct.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the board this evening? Nope, seeing none. I'd like to move on then to the report of our school business administrator. Mr. McManister.
The motions on the agenda are routine motions for the books. Okay, so the books are in proof. Just a reminder to the board that the next board meeting is May 14th at 7:30.
Thank you, Mr. McManus. I'm looking for a motion, please, for action item BA-034 to 18-BA-037. Looking for a motion, please.
Motion.
Motion, Dr. Foye. Second, please.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Brooks. Any questions for Mr. McManus this evening?
Are you going to read the proclamation?
We'll,
because that's 034.
We'll do that. We'll go back to that in a second.
Okay.
Okay.
Is 034 on the BA?
No. Yeah, we'll wait. That's why we're going to wait. Yep. So we have a second. Any questions? No, seeing none. May we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Brooks?
Yes.
Dr. Foy?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Olasky?
Yes.
Mrs. Radaguda?
Yes.
Mrs. Brennan?
Yes.
Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Thank you. I'd like to jump back in the agenda a little bit. Dr. Fyander has some proclamations to recognize, please.
Yes. Shall I read?
Mm-hmm.
Great. I would like to read the proclamation. Be it resolved that the Board of Education hereby approves the following proclamation for Staff Appreciation Week. Whereas the week of May 6, 2018 is being recognized as Staff Appreciation Week, and whereas the Superintendent and Board of Education of Clinton Township are committed to excellence in education and preparation of all our students with the knowledge, skills, and ethics required for responsible citizenship and members of our society, and whereas the Superintendent and Board of Education recognize this goal can only be achieved when all employees acknowledge and accept the mission as their own, and whereas the Superintendent and Board of Education wishes to thank all of the employees of Clinton Township School District for their individual and collective commitment to the realization of this shared vision for the education of our students, and whereas the Superintendent and Board of Education wish to acknowledge each employee for his or her personal contribution in maintaining a public education system that is a source of local pride, and whereas it expressed requests of the Superintendent and the Board of Education that this proclamation supports the upcoming Staff Appreciation Week activities at each school as a way to celebrate our success, acknowledge our achievements, and encourage ongoing recognition of the valuable contribution of all employees. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Superintendent and the Board of Education proclaim the week of May 6, 2018 as Staff Appreciation Week for our school district employees.
Thank you, Dr. Fyander. Do you have a second?
I have another one.
Can you read your second one, please?
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
Be it resolved that the Board of Education hereby approves the following proclamation for School Nurse Day. Whereas more than 3.1 million professional nurses in the U.S. comprise our nation's largest healthcare profession, and whereas the depth and breadth of nursing profession meets the diverse and emerging healthcare needs of the American population in a wide range of settings, and whereas the nursing profession is poised to take a leadership role in all settings to meet the demands of our changing healthcare system, and whereas a renewed emphasis on primary and preventative healthcare will require the better utilization of all our nation's nursing resources, and whereas professional nursing has been demonstrated to be an indispensable component in the safety and quality of care delivery, and whereas the demand for the cost-effective, safe, and quality healthcare services provided by professional nurses will be greater than ever because of the changing demographics in the United States population and the increased access to healthcare services, and whereas school nurses focus on prevention and well-being for students and families through education regarding healthy lifestyle choices and management of chronic diseases, and whereas quality school health services demand skilled nursing skills and practices based on strong scientific evidence and ongoing education for the health and safety of students, and whereas the ongoing efforts of our nurses as they support the students of New Jersey should be recognized. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Superintendent and Board of Education proclaim May 9th as School Nurse Day. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Fyander. I'd like to move on right now to the reports of our committee. Mr. Kevin Malloy is the Chair of Facilities and Finance. Unfortunately, Mr. Malloy is not able to make it this evening, so I have his report, which I will read to the board and those in attendance. The Facilities and Finance Committee met once since the March Board of Education meeting. During that meeting, we reviewed the proposed final budget for the 2018-19 school year. Dr. Fyander and Mr. McManus shared with the committee that the preliminary budget was approved by the Executive County Superintendent of Schools and the Executive County Business Administrator. The committee then reviewed the proposed tax payment schedule that the board will vote on this evening as well. Each year, if the proposed final budget is approved by the board, then the board votes on a tax payment schedule that is delivered within a few days after the final budget is approved by the board to the township. This annual payment schedule has been structured in the same manner for over a decade with roughly 10 equal payments, or 10 equal payments of approximately $2.3 million each. There are two additional payments required in the months of July and January. July, we must pay the interest of our debt service, and in January, the district is required to pay the annual required debt service fee. The township collects the school tax money from the taxpayers of Clinton Township and remits those monies to the district according to this payment schedule. Also, during the Facilities and Finance Committee meeting, we reviewed the status of RFPs for a food service provider and for an auditor. On tonight's agenda, we have 24 resolutions to vote on. First is the standard resolution for the payment of monthly bills. Resolution Facilities and Finance 161 is a request from 8 different staff members to attend a variety of educational conferences. There's also a request from 4 staff members for graduate work. The committee is seeking approval on this resolution as well. As I mentioned before, under Facilities and Finance Committee section, we'll also be voting on the proposed final budget for the 2018-19 school year. We have an addendum to this particular committee report, that is Facilities and Finance 184, and this resolution seeks approval for the tax payment schedule to send to the township. The committee is also respectfully seeking the approval of a district bond council, which is required by law, as well as the approval of our school physician. On the agenda, the board will also see that the committee is seeking approval to dispose a non-functioning Casio piano. On behalf of the Clinton Township Board of Education, I'd like to thank ShopRite of Clinton for the very generous donation of soil, plants, and seeds valued at $200 for a project with our third grade students at Patrick McGarren School. And finally, we are seeking approval for several home instruction and student evaluations. With that, before I move this, I'd also like to make a correction on Facilities and Finance 177. The school year should read 2017/2018. So with that, I'm seeking a motion, please, for action items 18FF160 to action item 18FF184.
Motion.
Motion, Ms. McLaughlin. I'm looking for a second, please, from the board.
Second.
Mrs. Rodogada?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Any questions on Facilities and Finance? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Dr. Foy.
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Yes.
Mrs. Olasky.
Yes.
Mrs. Rodogada.
Yes.
Mrs. Brennan.
Yes.
Mrs. Brooks.
Yes.
Ms. Grant.
Yes.
Motion passed.
Thank you, sir. Moving on to second committee report this evening, personnel negotiations. Ms. Olasky is the chair of that particular committee. Ms. Olasky, may we please have your committee's report?
Sure. The personnel committee met once since the March board meeting, and we have 16 action items this month. There's one retirement in the board office and one resignation at PMG. The board would like to wish both Diane Hanley and Heather Steinhauer well in their future endeavors. There is an approval related to summer curriculum work for a staff member. There's an approval for a teaching assistant hire to backfill a position for the remainder of the 17-18 school year. There are two approvals for home instruction for the remainder of this school year. There's also an approval for an aide to accompany a student on a class trip. There are two approvals for teacher hires to provide maternity leave coverage in May and June. There's an approval for a maternity leave request. There are 5 amendments to prior action items, 18 PN 115 to reflect a change in the stipend related to a mentor teaching assignment, 18 PN 175 and 176 to reflect changes in the start dates for maternity leave, 18 PN 191 to reflect the position of golf club advisor is no longer self-funded, 18 PN 228 to reflect a change in the end date for a disability leave of absence. Lastly, there's an approval of a job description for the accounts payable coordinator / administrative assistant position. There's also 2 revisions for action item 18, PN 238 and 239. For 238, it should read at the last sentence, to be paid at the specified hourly rate of $51.27 per hour. And for 239, It should read Angela, and I apologize, I'm probably going to slaughter her last name, Dumikowski, to be paid at the specified hourly rate of $41.70 per hour. With that, I would like to put forth a motion for action items 18 PN 233 through 248.
Thank you, Ms. Olowski. I'm looking for a second, please, from the board.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Brooks. Any questions for Mrs. Olowski this evening? Seeing none, may we have a roll call?
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Yes.
Mrs. Olowski.
Yes.
Mrs. Redaguda.
Yes.
Mrs. Brennan.
Yes.
Mrs. Brooks.
Yes.
Dr. Foy?
Yes.
Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Thank you. Final committee report this evening is our policy and curriculum committee. Mrs. McLaughlin is the chair of that committee. Ms. McLaughlin, may we please have your committee's report?
Yes. The policy and curriculum committee met last week for a lengthy time. Although we only have five action items to move forward tonight, we have a second reading of our athletic team guidelines. We made one revision from 12 to 11 for the minimum number for our basketball team. We have a difference in date from moving from May 11th to June 4th for a field trip. We're approving the annual CAP grant application, which is a child assault prevention program that Clinton Township has participated for successfully many years. We have seven field trips to approve tonight. Six field trips are out of district and one field trip is in district. With that being said, I would like to move action item 18PC 03 through 18PC 042.
Thank you, Mrs. McLaughlin. I'm looking for a second, please.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Redaguda. Any questions for Mrs. McLaughlin this evening?
I have a question about the basketball amendment. Why from 12 to 11?
Yes. What's your question?
You didn't hear me.
Why?
I didn't hear her.
Why?
Well, it was originally 12, and one board member recommended 10, so we compromised at 11.
Okay.
Any other questions for Mrs. McLaughlin? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Olowski.
Yes.
Mrs. Redaguda.
Yes.
Mrs. Brennan.
Yes.
Mrs. Brooks.
Yes.
Dr. Foy.
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Yes.
Ms. Grant.
Yes.
Motion passed.
Thank you. I'd like to move on to the old business portion of our meeting. Any board members have any old business that they would like to share or discuss tonight? Mr. Redaguda? Did you? Oh, okay. Sorry, I thought you raised your hand. No? Seeing none, new business?
Oh. Well, I don't know if, no, it's new. Never mind.
Okay, new business, Mrs. Olowski.
I just wanted to congratulate all of the teachers at PMG. I happened to be at the spring concert, and I thought it was phenomenal. All of the classes did such a good job, and it was really nice to see that they had picked a couple of students, or one student from each class, to come up to the front and actually give a little summary of what their class was doing. So it was really cool.
Thank you. Anyone else? New business?
New business.
A couple of board meetings ago, I made a statement that I wanted all staff to be recognized for retirements. And perusing our next meeting dates, I realized that the June meeting date is after school ends. So I'm wondering, at the May 14th meeting, can we recognize all staff members retiring?
That's when it's simple.
Okay. I also want to just thank Dr. Fyander for continuing to have the student presentations. I think they make our meetings more lively, and they focus our attention on why we're all up here volunteering many, many hours.
Thank you. Anyone else? New business? Nope. Seeing none, I'd like to open the floor to the second recognition of the public. All the parameters I mentioned before for our first public comment section on agenda items only apply here as well. If you'd like to address the board, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 10 minutes. Okay, seeing none, Mr. McManus, your most favorite part of the meeting, sir.
Okay, whereas while the Senator Byram and their Open Public Meetings Act for NJSA 10 section 4-6 requires all meetings of the Clinton Township Board of Education to be held in public. NJSA 10, Section 4-12, Section, Subsection B sets forth 9 types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in executive session without the public being permitted to attend. And whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10, Section 4-12, Subsection B, to be discussed without the public in attendance and shall be discussed during an executive session. Whereas any pending or anticipated litigation or contract negotiation in which the public body is or may become a party, any matters falling within the attorney-client privilege to the extent that confidentiality is required, in order for the attorney to exercise his ethical duties as a lawyer, the nature of the matter described as specifically as possible without undermining the need for confidentiality, reviewing hearing information before the board pursuant to NJSA 18A, Section 3713.2, et sec, attorney-client privilege, personnel, and negotiations. And whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 60 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session for only the above stated reasons. Be it further resolved that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as the reason for confidentiality no longer exists. Action may be taken upon return.
Thank you, Mr. McManus. Looking for a motion, please, to go into executive session.
Motion.
Ms. Olowski or Dr. Foy?
Dr. Foy.
Dr. Foy, second?
Second.
Mrs. Olowski. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We are now in executive session. Looking for a motion, please, to reconvene the meeting?
Motion.
Motion, Mrs. Rodogada, a second?
Second.
Mrs. Brennan, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We are now back in session. Looking for a motion, please, to adjourn the meeting?
Motion.
Motion, Mrs. McLaughlin, second?
Motion.
Second. Dr. Foy, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Meeting is adjourned.